Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I am Justin Asiri, and each week, normally I interview veterans about their civilian career. My goal is to give people on active duty and people who have recently transitioned from the military just different ideas of what they might do in their civilian career and advice from people who have been there to help you get where you're wanting to go. This is a new type of episode that I'm calling a skills episode. This is skills number 5, and today we're going to be talking about interviewing. And I'm going to call this part 1 because I'm sure there's a lot more to follow on this. Before we dive in, if you haven't signed up for our newsletter at beyondtheuniform.io, please do so. Lots more coming that way. And second of all, if you haven't had a chance to give us a review on iTunes, please do that. The most recent one from Rob50124 on October 23rd. Very nice. It really helps. I put these all over my refrigerator. I send them to my grandmother. And more importantly, it gets the word out about our show and gets us in front of more veterans. I want to give a special thanks to contributors from the Beyond the Uniform community. This interview or this episode, I'm trying something brand new. I actually emailed the mailing list. I said, I know you guys have got and gals have got a lot of advice on interviews. What advice would you want listeners to know? And that's what we're going to be covering today is the 10 responses I got, some really awesome and thoughtful answers from the Beyond the Uniform community. So thank you to all of those who did that. I'm going to be doing this again, so sign up for that newsletter if you want to learn about this or if you'd like to contribute. I'll also be adding pretty soon a new section to the Beyond the Uniform website focusing on Q&A, so giving you more of a format to be able to ask and answer questions to help in your transition. And then last thing that I'll say before we dive in is that on this interview's show notes, there is a comment section for every single post. I would love to see any comments that people have. If you disagree with things, if you want to add on, if you want to add your own advice, use the comment section to spark that discussion. I'll pay close attention to that and be answering and joining in where I can. But I'd love to make this the starting point of a much richer and deeper discussion, and that'll take place on the website in the comment section at the bottom of the show notes. So let's dive in. The very first response was from John Anderson, who said network exclamation point. And I couldn't agree more. I know it's very simple, but I think that networking is something that comes up time and time again on the show. And I think it is a great way to prepare for these interviews. And I know that a lot of the subsequent answers are going to delve more into that. But I did want to highlight two interviews that I've done that I think really speak to this. The first is Sam Bond in episode number 44. He talks about his transition to the ride-sharing app Lyft. And it came about because he was, I don't think he would call it networking, but it is technically networking. He was meeting up with a friend and a former coworker and just grabbing a beer, grabbing coffee, grabbing lunch, just catching up. And the person told him about an opportunity. And that's what led him to be general manager at Lyft. So episode number 44 is one to check out. I'll have links to that in the show notes. Also episode number 126, that was a very recent episode. Nicholas Loudon talks about networking and ways that veterans might approach this in a way that feels authentic. And so I would recommend checking out both of those in relation to John's advice. The next piece of advice came from Meg Potter. Meg said two things. Actually wear your interview outfit to ensure fit and comfort, and work with a friend to rehearse or drill possible interview questions. Oh, and actually familiarize yourself with the company and the position. I love this idea from Meg of getting comfortable in those interview outfits. I know that seems a little bit strange, but I think that if you're entering a situation with a lot of uncertainty and a lot of unknowns and a lot of unfamiliarity, these little things can pay off in making you feel more comfortable and more ready. I knew people in high school that for the SATs, they'd even do that. They'd wear those clothes, get them comfortable, just to kind of have that sense of familiarity. So I love that thought of wearing that interview outfit as you practice and just having that mental association with that outfit with really crushing the interview. I also wanted to plug what Meg was saying about doing your homework. I know a lot of the other answers speak to that, but for you who are Simpsons buffs, this is reaching way back to the days when there was the episode of Who Shot Mr. Burns. I love there is this scene where Mr. Smithers comes out of, I think, like an interrogation room, and this reporter runs up to him and says, "Who are you and what are you doing?" And then Kent Brockman elbows him aside and says, "Damn it, Jim, do your homework." And I always think about that, where it's like, oh man, you got to do the basic homework. You need to understand who you're talking to, their background, what the company does. You really need to have done a little bit of that research beforehand. And I know some of the other answers are going to get into more detail on that. One thing that I would point out here is that almost every single interview will end with, you know, what questions do you have for me? Don't think of that on the spot. Go into the interview, have those questions that are a level below the surface, something that will help you stand out, something that shows that you did your homework, but you can actually learn from. And that's one specific way that you can do your homework, is thinking, what are the questions you're going to ask at the end of your one, two, or three different interviews, or however many interviews you have for that company. Next one comes from Mark Mitchell. I believe this is a Mark from the Naval Academy. He was a year ahead of me. What up, Mark? Thanks for participating. He recommends the book PCS to Corporate America, and I'll add a link to that book in the show notes. I've actually heard of that book from one other person as well, so I haven't read it myself, but I'll have a link to it in the show notes if you want to check that out. Next one comes from Aaron Birch, and Aaron gets the MVP award for the most answers to this question. He actually has 8 different pieces of advice, and Aaron, I really appreciate the detail and the quality of your advice on this one. So I'll kind of add my 2 cents as we go along, but the first thing he said was, learn how to interview. Watch sample interviews on YouTube, learn the STAR method, look up lists of behavioral interview questions, prepare a mental list of 10 to 15 examples from your past experience that can be tailored to answer most of the behavioral questions you can find, and memorize those examples. Practice interviewing with someone and record yourself, then watch them and someone else and ask for feedback. Repeat this. Incredible, incredible advice. I couldn't agree more with everything Aaron is saying. I will find some of those YouTube videos. I will add them as links in the show notes. The second thing he mentioned was the STAR method. I had not actually heard of that, so I looked it up. I'll put the link that I found there that goes into more detail on the STAR method in the show notes, but it relates to situation, task, action, result. And it's a format for telling your story. And if I had to emphasize any aspect of that STAR method, it'd be the R, the result, really tying this back to, in my opinion, a numerical outcome. You know, I did this and it led to a 20% reduction in product failure. I did this with my team and it led to a 15% increase in their scores. Numbers and in those results, they are the universal that cuts through all the military jargon. You know, even me being in the military, I might not actually understand what my friends in the Air Force did on a tactical basis, but when they talk about any sort of objective result, even if you're just approximating it, it helps me understand the impact that they had. Also on this first point, I really like this thought that Aaron has here of finding those 10 to 15 examples of your past that can be tailored. And in the reprogramming seminar that I'm leading, I actually went through 5 different stories and how you can relate. If you have 5 different stories, you can relate them to pretty much any question you get. Because a lot of interviews now in different industries are, like Aaron talks about, they're behavioral. Tell me about a time when you made a mistake. Tell me about a time when you led a team through a very adverse situation. So I love his thought of looking up these behavioral questions, but I think it's so great that he points out, you know, have these 5 or 10 or 15 stories in your back pocket that you can tweak to any question you can possibly be asked. And in business school, we would rehearse these stories over and over and over again. We'd be walking to class and we'd practice it. We'd be sitting around, we'd be practicing it. You never want to think of this on the fly. You want to have rehearsed this so many times that you just go into autopilot, and then you can really fine-tune reading their response and just little things like that. But just like Meg pointed out about being comfortable in your clothes, I think it's really being comfortable in your stories. And I love how Aaron talks about recording this. I think that's great just to see your gestures, your facial expressions. Make sure that you're smiling, that you're not coming across as super intense military dude or dudette, that you're really coming across as relatable and that you're comfortable. And then lastly, when he says repeat this, totally agree. It is like exercising. It is like anything else. It's all about iterations. It's all about getting as many practices in as possible so that when you go in for game day, you just kill it. And I love that phrase. I'm going to butcher it, but there's a quote that says, in a crisis, you sink to your level of training. You don't rise to your level of aspiration. And I can see myself going into interviews. My first interviews, I went in cold turkey, which was just idiotic. You really want to rehearse this and rehearse this and rehearse this so that when you go in, you know the outcome you're going to get. And just one more plug for Aaron. This is just the first of 8 points that he had. So tons more. So the second thing that Aaron Birch added was learn about the company. Google the company, their competitors, suppliers, and customers. If they are publicly traded, read their annual report and listen to their latest earnings calls. Research common interview questions and scenarios used at the company. Yes, totally agree. I think that this is expanding on what Meg Potter said about doing your homework, but I agree with all of those different points. And I just love the tactical emphasis here. Lots of different ways to run with this. The third thing that Aaron says is learn about your interviewer. Look up your interviewer on LinkedIn, find out how long they've been with the company and their previous roles, find them on Twitter and on other social media, and look for anything relatable. Totally. Plus one for social stalking. I agree with Aaron here. If someone asked me, like I had people ask and they're like, oh, when did you start Storybox? And my immediate thought is like, do your fucking homework. That's so easy to find out. Like, you know, how long have you been in this role or where did you work previously? You should know that going in. It takes literally a minute or two. Just the basics. And there's a lot of tools out there that in your Gmail inbox, you can even see someone's social profiles, see what they're tweeting about. If they're tweeting about sports, you know, that's just common ground. And there's obviously a fine line between being a little bit too much of a stalker and being like, oh yeah, I love 8 cats. Do you, interviewer? You know, like you don't want to be a little bit too blatant, but I think it's just great to, you know, and you can even own it. Like, hey, I saw on Twitter that you love the Broncos. Me too. Or, you know, what did you think about that game? Just trying to find the common ground. And it's so easy to do today. The next thing that Aaron said is learn about the position that you're applying for. Read and reread the position description, noting key skills and experiences. Then think of ways you fit the bill, either directly or indirectly. Look up the position on Glassdoor, on Transparent Career, etc. Try to find loose connection with with someone at the company who has or previously had the job you're interviewing for and talk to them. Again, Aaron is spot on here. I love that. We're going to talk about this pretty soon with an example from Katie Horrigan, but I love that thought of knowing the job and telling your background as it specifically relates to that job. You are showing the interviewer that you understand what the job is by telling stories from your military that relate exactly to that. And I'll give you an example down below in a second. He lists Glassdoor and Transparent Career. I'll have links to those in the show notes. Great resources in learning more about the company. But it's really essential that you are not going to the interview to learn about the job. You are going to the interview knowing about the job, and you're demonstrating how you're ready to do it today. And I love his thought on finding someone who worked there and interviewing them and talking to them. That's a great idea. That's one of the goals of Beyond the Uniform, is to kind of try and recreate that experience as well. Next, Aaron says, make yourself memorable. Depending on your skill set and the position type, make a, quote, leave behind, end quote, to give your interviewer. Maybe it's an infographic, maybe it's a book of previous projects. Ideally, it has some parallels to the types of work products you might expect to produce in this position. This is a great idea. I hadn't thought of this before. You know, honestly, the mental image that comes in is from Arrested Development of Tobias Funke leaving behind a headshot for him. that's what I picture here. But I think it's a nice idea. I love the thought of making yourself memorable. I don't have any experience with a leave behind. I think that's a great idea. I do think that the bottom of your resume, in my resume, it's called additional. It's just three little bullet points that are things to stand out. So for me, I have like sang for five U.S. presidents, which is an experience I had through the Naval Academy with the Men's Glee Club. We sang for five different presidents. I would say half the interviews I've had, they ask about that. It just stands out. It's like, whoa, tell me about this. Or I have another bullet point that's I've done scuba diving in 10 different countries. And a lot of times that will elicit a question because it just stands out. As a veteran, you're probably going to already have plenty that stands out. But finding something from your personal background is a great way to also, like Aaron said, make yourself memorable. Next up, Aaron says, execute. During the interview and where appropriate, sprinkle in anecdotes you uncovered during your preparation. Maybe it's a commonality you share with the interviewer. Maybe it's an idea for a new service. Demonstrate that you're already thinking of real ways to cut expenses or grow revenue before you even have the job. Show genuine interest in the industry, company, and position. If you can't find genuine interest after all this preparation, it's probably not a good fit for you. I think that's awesome, and I think that's true. I love the details here. I can tell you that when I'm interviewing people, I've had people say like, hey, for Storybox, have you thought of this? What about this for a product? What about this? And even if the idea isn't great, it does, on a conscious and subconscious level, make me realize this person, they are a hustler, they're gung-ho, they're diving in already. I'm already positioning them, thinking of them in this position, and they're already thinking of doing it. I think that's such great advice. And, you know, I wanted to point out, and I'll put in the show notes a link to this, but Beyond the Uniform, episode number 27 with Katie Horgan, where she shares her story from Marines to operations at Plated.com and other early stage startups. She talks about how she explained her role in logistics. And when she was applying for operations, she said like, hey, you know, I'm not quoting here verbatim, but from what I remember, it's like, hey, I was, you know, taking trucks in Afghanistan and making sure they were getting to where they needed to go on time. And that's exactly what I'm going to be doing for you at Plated. I'm going to be making sure that these meals get to people on time and finding the bottlenecks and making sure that we overcome obstacles. I call this spoon feeding for the interviewer, but you are telling them like, I understand the position and this is how what I did in the past makes me the ideal candidate to do this again. That person who's interviewing, they have 1,000 things to do. Their objective is to fill a hole in their company. They need someone to be doing a job right now. And they're not thinking about charity. They're not thinking about training you. They're not thinking about developing you. They are most likely thinking about what is the fastest way that I can put out this fire, and how can the person sitting across from me make this one less thing on my to-do list? So I love this execution principle from Aaron of just executing, getting in there, and you know, I love that thought of sprinkling in ways in which you're showing you did your homework. I think that's great. Second to last from Aaron, MVP of this interview, follow up. Depending on the size of the company and the industry, send an email or handwritten thank you card within 24 hours of your interview, thanking the interviewer for his or her time and expressing your continued excitement. Spot on again, Aaron. I mean, within 24 hours, totally agree. I did that back in business school. I would take a handwritten note for my consulting interviews. I'd deliver it. What I would add on to this is be specific. You know, like, hey, Justin, I really enjoyed our conversation. What you said about the future of marketing is all about authenticity really stuck with me. And I think that you're right, and that's something I've been thinking about since our interview. So it's not just the generic thank you. You know, think of like good Christmas card present thank you card. It's not just the generic whatever. It's like, what did you get? What did you get out of it? Specific. And letting them know that you're really excited. And, you know, they see hundreds of people for most job interviews, and you're going to be one of the few that does this. It's just another way that, you know, to Aaron's earlier point where you're making yourself memorable. Last one from Aaron Birch, AAR, doing everything above isn't reasonable for every interview. Take what you learned, having done it all, and tailor your approach next time to what seemed like the most value-added activities. So I did not actually remember what AAR was. It is after action review. But I agree with that. Having now knowing what that means, I agree. It's all about iteration. You need to treat this as a learning process. I think it's great to block off time right after your interview to just kind of take stock of what worked, what didn't, what landed, what didn't, which stories resonated, which ones didn't, which questions did they ask that you didn't have a story for. You know, just anything that you can do to take this exceptional foundation that Aaron has put together for you, but to really personalize it and stick with what works. So I think that that's the perfect way to end with Aaron's advice on learning and iterating on that. So thank you, Aaron Birch. You rock. Really couldn't agree more with your notes on this. Next one is from Richard Herron. Richard shared three different things with us. The first thing, with respect to interviews, be yourself. Short but sweet and spot on. This is just like dating. In my early days of online dating, it was just, you know, being the clown trying to figure out how to sing and dance to get the other person's attention. And the person you end up doing that with is not the person you want to be with. You want to be yourself. Maybe not the self that you'd be at a bar with your friends or on the sports field with friends. You want to be the buttoned up version of yourself, but you want to really own who you are, because if they don't want who you are, you don't want to be there. It's really wanting to be yourself and be authentic. Don't try to be the person you think they want you to be. Be yourself. And that's not to contradict what Aaron was saying above. Like, you do want to explain your background and how you are a good fit for that role. But I love this thought from Richard of just, you know, being comfortable in your own skin and really being yourself. Next, Richard shares, think more about what career you want to interview for. A big help for me was finding a mentor to chat about options. Most people we dealt with were also on active duty and hadn't seen the other side. Go on LinkedIn and cold email people that have the career you're considering. Totally agree. The best way to prepare is to talk to someone who's been there. And there's so many veterans out there, you know, finding someone, reaching out to them. Most veterans will take your email. Some people are busy. Some people might miss your email. So I always say email five people and one person will respond. The other four want to help you, but they might just be in the midst of their own crisis and not get around to it. So don't expect a one for one, but email five people and get in front of them. Another plug, and I'll put this in the show notes, American Corporate Partners is a great program. They exist to, for absolutely free, connect you with mentors in the industry or functional role that you're trying to get a job with or trying to grow in if you're already there. And they put together this amazing 12-month program. Hank Hughes, I had on the show, he was actually partnered with George Lucas from Star Wars. Hank Hughes went on to win or be nominated for an Academy Award. American Corporate Partners, check them out. And then lastly, Richard writes, thanks for Beyond the Uniform. I wish this existed when I was transitioning. Thank you, Richard. I kept that in to pat myself on the back, but really appreciate the feedback on that. Next up is Jared Weimer. And Jared is actually in episode number 98, where he talked about going from the Marines to Amazon and earning a PhD while at Amazon. Jared is a rock star, and he continues to add value in this incredible answer. He says, in military terms, treat each interview as a mission. Just as you tailor your resume for a role, you should also tailor the way that you talk about your experience, the role, and the company for instance, and get used to using phrases, quote, for instance, end quote, quote, for example, and quote, and by that I mean, the same work that an active duty service member's put into writing on their resume that got them the interview. Example, scour the company website so you understand the culture, the business objectives, and how you fit into the mix, as well as how you add value. Jared says, note, this is much easier with public companies who are required to disclose certain information. He also recommends look on websites like Glassdoor, Onet, etc. to make sure you understand the breadth of what you can bring to the table. Make sure you can speak to every line of the job description in a PAR or STAR format. I could frankly provide a whole layperson, a class or presentation on this, but these are some of the key actions. Awesome answer from Jared. I love what he's saying about really tweaking everything for the interview. So in business school, I had one version of my resume that was specifically for consulting. I had a different version that was specifically for startups. And I tweaked the language on them. Maybe 70% was the same, but 30% changed because for consulting, I wanted to show that I could go in, find a problem, come up with a solution, and sell it with to someone who would make the difference, just like I would do in a client position with a consulting company. And that's different from a startup, which is all about execution, which is about hustling, which is about creativity. And so think, you know, just remember, like Jared is saying here, you need to be able to tweak both your resume and your stories to the role you're applying to. Maybe that applies to attire as well. Maybe you break out that piano key necktie for the interview with Apple iTunes. Probably don't do that, but you know, tweak what you're doing to where you're specifically applying. Next up, Lee Haney, another BTU alum. Lee was in one of the early episodes, number 25, where he shared his story of going from Marines to Goldman Sachs and Hewlett-Packard, two incredible companies. Lee shares, what we learned in the military still applies. Nothing beats a leader's recon before a tactical movement. In this case, that means learning everything you can about the company and the role before the interview, including informational interviews with people who already work at the company with which you are interviewing. Spot on. I love the military comparison. It you wouldn't go into, this is, you know, spoken like a submarine guy. I don't know what Marines and SEALs and you guys that do the cool stuff do. But I imagine you don't go into a situation in what they call the shit without doing your homework first. I'm imagining there's a lot of recon and preparation before diving into an engagement. And it's no different in the civilian sector. You need to do your homework beforehand, just like Lee says here. Next up, Michael Beard. Michael shares, find veterans in the civilian industry you are targeting and spend time with them in an informational interview. Ask for blunt feedback on your resume and interview skills. Use them to get the debriefing and feedback that most civilians are too cautious to give. An HR or a human resources person will not tell you that you are coming across too stiff or using too many acronyms or not smiling enough. Love it, Michael. This is great advice. I completely agree that you're not going to get the feedback that you really need to improve from the person interviewing you or from the human resources team. That's where going back to Aaron's idea of recording yourself, of doing this interview with other people, and really demanding from them that they're honest. Like, dude, loosen up, smile more, have more fun. Hey, you keep on saying this phrase, no one's gonna know what that is. You need to translate this to civilian speak. And I love that advice from Michael on this. Like, you really need to find people who are gonna do that and reaching out for these informational interviews, finding friendlies, finding other veterans who can do that for you. Because when you're in the interview, it's too late for that. You're not gonna get that feedback that you need. You're gonna get it from self-reflection like Aaron talked about after the interview, and you're gonna learn about it from practicing beforehand like Michael is talking about here. second to last person, Charlie Mello, and I believe this is Charlie Mello, Naval Academy class of 2002. What up, Charlie? Classmate of mine. He was generous to share his advice. He says, discuss how your skill set will provide and drive value to the company. It doesn't matter as much what you have already done. It matters more what you are willing to do to help the company grow. I love this. I'm going to actually repeat that one more time because I think it's so spot on. It doesn't matter as much what you have already done. It matters more what you are willing to do to help the company grow. It's true. I'm not saying that's right, but it's all about the person interviewing you. It is all about the company you're interviewing for. They're not interested in teaching you. They're not interested in a, quote, Swiss Army knife, the phrase you do not want to use. They're not interested in the jack of all trades, another phrase you don't want to use. They are looking at someone who understands what they're hiring for and can come in on day one and crush it. And so, you know, your past is great. You want to tie in the stories that you've done in the military and how that applies to this job. But, you know, you need to tweak it to what you're going to be doing. You need to find a way to relate what you did in the military to what you're going to be doing with this company. And there is a way for every single job. If you haven't learned anything else from all these interviews I've done, what you've done in the military can help you in any possible job on the planet. But do the homework beforehand. Spoon feed the interviewer. Show them how you're going to help the company going forward, because that's what they want. That's what they need. And of course, you do need to be teachable. You need to be someone who they can give feedback to and fine tune, but they're not looking to someone that they need to teach how to read and write and eat properly. They need to see that you are a person who knows the basics, and I'm obviously exaggerating here, but knows the basics and can add value from day one. And I don't say that to intimidate everyone. Every single person listening to this, you can add value from day one. But the way that you start to do that is by translating your experience, by doing your homework, by understanding the job, by doing those informational interviews, so that when you're in that interview, you can show them how you are going to add value and help the company grow. Last one. This one's from Brian Henry. He says, I actually have two of Orion's talent podcasts I'd steered them to that we did to address this question. Episode number 5 addresses beginning the preparation process, and episode number 7 hits a few of the most important questions to be prepared for and how to answer them. I will link to oriontalent.com/podcast, episode 5, episode 7. That will be in the show notes for you, as well as links to every single linkable thing that we talked about in this. So once again, thank you so much to Beyond the Uniform listeners who have submitted graciously their time and given answers to this. I could not have done a better job myself, and all of this different advice I hope was helpful for listeners. Check out the show notes. I would really love to see any comments about this. Even if that's disagreeing, if that's adding or building or plus oneing on top of this in agreement, I'd love to make that discussion area an active portal to be able to discuss and take this even further, because I'm sure even with these 10 great responses, I'm sure there's still other exceptional ideas out there. If you like this format, let me know. I plan on sending out another interview pretty soon. We'll do a show around that. So sign up for our newsletter. That way you can participate for the next one. And one last plug, if you haven't had a chance to give us a review on iTunes, I would greatly appreciate it. I am speaking directly to you right there. Yeah, you listening to this right now. I'm asking you for a review. It does really help get the word out about the show. So that's all. I'll be back in a few days with an actual interview with a veteran about their civilian career. But I hope you've enjoyed this skills interview and have an exceptional week.